Welcome to Seeking Paradise, reflections on spirituality, community, and justice.
Welcome everyone today. There's two pieces of writing that reinforce one another that I want to reflect on today. From the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said, "Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Friend, let me take out the speck in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." And from the Analects of Confucius, the master said, "Oh my, 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 I have yet to meet anyone who, on seeing their own excesses, is ready to accuse themselves." Those readings remind me of a story. A story that once upon a time, a woman was rushing out of her house, was late for work, collecting her keys, getting her stuff together, and she looked for her purse, and she couldn't find her purse. Wherever she looked for it, she thought, "Oh, it's not in the kitchen. It's not on the kitchen table. It's not on the bedside table." And she was rushing around. She couldn't find her purse, and she remembered her daughter's boyfriend was in the house the night before, and she thought, "You know, he's a shifty looking bloke, actually. He's a bit of a funny looking boy. He's got a strange haircut. He always seems a bit surly, a bit, you know, quiet. What is he up to? He's very sort of suspicious and shifty looking. Wears funny clothes." She didn't like him, and she thought, "I bet it's him. I bet it's that boy that, I bet it's that boy that nicked my purse." And she was going to confront her daughter about it, but she thought, "I've not got time," so she just had to rush out of the house without her purse. And then she made it. She reached work. She got into work, and as soon as she got there, a colleague came up to her and said, "Oh, here's your purse. You left it here last night." And the woman realized that she had got her purse out for something just at the end of the day, and she realized she'd left it there. That night, again, when she got home, the daughter's boyfriend came round, and she looked at him and she thought to herself, "Well, you know what? He's actually a nice looking lad. He's a bit quiet. He's a bit quiet, but you know what? He's got kind eyes, and he seems very polite, actually. And when I look at him now, I can see a really, really nice lad." The way we see other people is a really complicated thing. The way that woman saw her daughter's boyfriend when she suspected him of theft was very different to how she saw him when she realized he was innocent. Seeing clearly is a very difficult thing to do, because when we look at one another, we don't see reality. We see whatever assumptions or emotional baggage we associate with another person. And this only gets more true when we're talking about the most intimate relationships in our lives, or romantic relationships, or relationships with our families. Now, this can happen quite a lot at the beginning of a relationship. We tend to get very excited and project a lot of expectations onto the other person. We fill in the gaps of what we don't know about a person with a kind of imagined wonderfulness. There's gaps in our knowledge of what that person is really like, so we imagine those gaps are filled with a wonderfulness. And we're excited and we have hormones and we're not seeing clearly, and that's okay. But there comes a point when you get to know a person so much better, all their foibles, all their failures, and then the question is, when you see them clearly, are those feelings or some feelings still true? When we're having those feelings about the reality of a person, not about the imagined projections we have on another person. You know, I've dated people in the past and I felt very excited and I thought at the time, I'm really happy about this. I'm really happy about this connection with someone. And then it's ended and I've thought back to myself and I've thought about that person. I'm like, I can't remember what I liked about that person. Like, I'm not saying they're a bad person, but I also like can't remember anything particularly that was the reason that I liked them. I was just caught up in the moment of liking the idea of them. Like, what did I actually like about that particular person? What was it that drew me to them? And I think actually, after it's passed, I can't think what anything was, because maybe it wasn't anything. It was all projection. Because we see with emotional logs in our eyes. With family, it's a bit different because we do know each other very well in some ways, but we always see each other through those relationships. Parents always see children as children, and children always see their parents as a parent. It's true, and it also carries all that complexity and sometimes the trauma of that. Jesus talked a lot about seeing right, about how vision can be clear or fails to be clear spiritually. The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is healthy, the body is full of light. If you see things right, you're on that journey to liberation, on that journey to enlightenment. And as with all things spiritual, it's not a one-off thing. It's not like one day you take the log out of your eye and then you see right. Every day, a new log goes into your eye, and every day you have to take that log out. Every day you look at someone with judgment or with a false assumption or with emotional baggage because they remind you of your mother or because they are your mother, or you cast them in a story you're telling yourself, hero, savior, wise one, parent, or villain, bad person, opponent, or enemy. Every day, these are the logs we use to see people through. These are the logs that prevent us from seeing things as they truly are, seeing people as they actually are. We see people so often through a story that we're telling ourselves, not through the reality of who they are. Now, that's not to say that sometimes you can't recognize someone's behavior as not okay or even abusive. Of course, there are times when we recognize, this is not okay, when we do judge and we judge appropriately or just recognize we do genuinely disagree. But the practice that Jesus teaches is seeing right. Removing the log from your eye, seeing what is true and seeing it compassionately. And how do we do that? As with most spiritual practices, it's a matter of noticing and questioning. Just wondering in this situation, am I really seeing right? Am I reacting out of sight or am I reacting through the log in my eye? Am I reacting to what this person is actually doing, is actually saying, is actually being? Or am I reacting out of the log in my eye? And by keep asking that question, by doing the daily work of taking the log out of your eye, we're a bit better at seeing clearly. And not rushing to judgment, not rushing to assumption, not rushing to offense. Not rushing to assuming another person's intentions. We're a little bit better at holding all the thoughts in our minds a bit more lightly. Because that's what this is about. It's also about not believing everything you think. I think our problem of us often is that we believe everything that we think. A thought comes into your mind and you think, oh, that must be true. And then you build a story based on the thought. But not every thought that comes into your mind is true. Because a lot of thoughts come into your mind come from not seeing right, from the log in your eye. So we question that. We question that, and we're skeptical about our own thoughts. Don't believe everything you think. Apply a level of skepticism, a level of inquiry about your own thought process. Is it coming from reality, or is it coming from something else that's a story I've made up that's a log in my own eye? The eye is the lamp of the body, but there's always logs in our eyes. So we first take the log out of your own eye daily, every day as practice. Take the log out of your own eye.